Well, good morning.
Morning.
Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. Your bulletin, if you have that, you open it up. Just a few reminders in there. If you remember, we are still in the month of mission, and boy, we're starting to get some items up here, which is great. If you haven't had a chance to shop, you probably need to do so. I think there's, one Sunday left, really, to gather up items. Well, maybe two, because we will take the meal up on the first Sunday in November. So really you have 2 Sundays left to 2 weeks left to gather up some things. But I hope that you do. If you still don't know exactly what to buy or purchase, look out on the bulletin. There is a list there of things that the Valley Mission is needing, so you can just see that. Also, there's still a sign-up sheet, I believe, on the kitchen door there of items that we're going to be needing to serve the meal there on the first Sunday in November. And the kids are going to be helping with that, the youth. So the youth on that Sunday, if you can plan on staying after church, we'll make sure that you're fed, and we need your help to make get the meal ready to take there to Valley Mission. And that's always a good experience. So I hope the kids can participate in that, and I hope that you can help out as well. Janet, did you have a chance to see how much soup we still need? I didn't look.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I know they need about 5 gallons of soup to take, or 10 gallons rather, 10 gallons of soup. And so I'm not sure how many people have signed up yet to help with that, but if you can make a gallon or two, I know that will go a long ways to help in providing not only that meal, but usually they have some left over as well that they freeze and that they can use later on as a nice warm meal. So thank you so much for those helping with that. Next Sunday will be Baptism Sunday here. And we're going to be not only baptizing, receiving new members here into the church. I think there's going to be a good-sized group joining the church. Maybe, I didn't count up completely, but I think somewhere around 10 or 11 members that will be brought into the congregation. So praise the Lord for that. I encourage each of you to come and share with those that you know are already members here. Maybe they're not here today or haven't been here. Encourage them back to be a part of that Sunday. It's going to be a special service, and it's important for the members to be here to greet and to welcome those new members in, as well as to be a part of those baptisms that Sunday. Okay, our fall Bible study is continuing on. I think I have one book left, one study guide, but I can get more. So if you still want to join maybe and you hadn't got a study guide, see me, and certainly I will get that study guide to you. And also just take a note there of our fall CBM. We'll be getting those positions that will be needed to be filled soon posted, and that way you can start praying about it and discerning who God's calling into leadership here at Moscow. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Yeah, just mention the flowers here this morning are in memory of Patty Simmons. Of course, we all remember Patty. And we think about her often, Randy. We miss her dearly here in our church. But she's there worshiping this morning with Jesus, and we praise the Lord for that. And we miss her, but we thank God. We know she's there and she's safe, and we praise the Lord for that. So those flowers are in memory of our loved one, Patty. Also, just choir practice. Women will be practicing to this right after worship. If you can stay, maybe you've been thinking about being a part of the choir. Now's the chance to do it, isn't it? This is their first practice, and you don't have to be an expert singer to join the choir. Trust me, I'm a part of it, and I'm not an expert singer. So Janet will whip you into shape, and we appreciate the work she's doing, and Nancy as well, I would assume, probably. And so we just thank all those that are helping with that. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of being here together, worshiping you. Thank you for the blessings of this church, Lord. Lord, you've brought us together and joined us together to be your body here at Moscow. And Lord, I just pray you continue to bless us. Lord, bless us as we do your work. Lord, bless us as we worship you. Lord, we just pray that you continue to transform us into the men and women, Lord, those Christians that you desire for us to be. Lord, we repent of those sins that we have in our life. And Lord, we draw close to you. We draw close to you in your Holy Spirit. We draw close to your holy cross. Lord, just continue to transform us into the people, Lord, that you desire for us to be. And Lord, we praise you. We praise your Son, Jesus. Might your Spirit just move among us here in this time of worship together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. You have your bulletin, you'll find inside that we're having our call to worship from portions of 1 John chapter 4. And John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world." Let's turn our hymnal, page 358, "I Am Thine, O Lord." Page 358, "I Am Thine." Boy, isn't that a beautiful hymn? One of my favorites. Draw me near, blessed Lord. That's our prayer, isn't it? That's our plea. Draw us near. Okay, a couple prayer requests and praises I'd like to share with you, and then, of course, gather up any that you might have. If you would you be in prayer for a little boy named Parker? Got word this morning that they had heard a prayer request and people were asking to have the little boy named Parker from Folks Run to be put on prayer lists in churches throughout the valley and beyond, wherever. But for people to be praying for him, that he was involved in a car accident or has to deal with a truck. And he is at UVA. He's going to have surgery, I know, on his hand. I think they're having to put pins in his hand and all his fingers, and just having a very, very serious wreck, very serious things that surgeries that he will have to go through. So if you would, just put Parker on your prayer list this week. Be in prayer for him and for his recovery from this very, very serious car accident. And he's from the Folks Run area. I do not know his last name, but I just know the first, and that's good enough in it. We know who we're praying for. God knows who we're praying for, and we certainly lift him up in prayer. Also, if you would, continue to keep my dad, Dana, in your prayers. Unfortunately, Dana was back in the hospital beginning of this past week. He had to have surgery again, and almost two surgeries, but thank goodness only one, and he is recovering from that. It will probably be another maybe 5 or 6 days before he can get home again. So we were praising the Lord that he made it a little over 2 weeks. So it's getting better, but it's still a slow recovery. So if you would, please keep him in your prayer list. Also, Deborah this morning woke up not feeling well, and she's already been to the doctor and getting some medicine for seasonal stuff. I think she's got a sinus infection. You know how that goes this time of year. So if you would, just lift Deborah up in your prayers as well. Also, would you put Nancy Bailey on your prayer list? Nancy, when she came back from her trip for the train, she ended up actually having to go a couple of days later into the hospital, and she'd been having some AFib issues. They did ablation procedure upon her heart, I think 2 days ago. And of course, she's doing well from that. She told me she's already feeling better. I got to visit with her there in the hospital. In fact, she was on the same floor as my dad. I just kind of went from one room to the next and was able to visit with her there. Her son Preston was there with her looking after her. And she is recovering, and we just praise the Lord for that. Maybe you'd like to send Nancy Bailey a card. I know she would really appreciate that. She was hoping to get home soon. If everything checked out, she would probably be coming home in the next couple days. So maybe today or tomorrow she'll be getting back to her house. And we praise the Lord for that. And, you know, she'd been having this issue for, you know, over a year or more. So she was just delighted that she's feeling better and that God worked through certain circumstances to get that procedure done quickly. And we just praise the Lord for that. Are there other prayer requests or praises you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? With that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that as we turn to you in this time of prayer, Lord, that we know, Father, that you hear our prayers. Lord, that we know that because we see these prayers answered continually. And Lord, we continue to trust in you for healing. We continue to trust in you to supply strength where strength is needed, comfort where comfort is needed. Lord, only you can do these things. Lord, the doctors and nurses, they are skilled, Lord, and they work under your guidance. But Lord, we know that the ultimate healing comes from you. We pray for those like Nancy and Dana, Lord, that have went through surgeries, Lord. We pray for their healing now and their recovery. Lord, we pray that you continue to work miracles even through those procedures. Lord, we pray for those that are not mentioned in our prayer list that are going through procedures, Lord. They are going through treatments, Lord. We lift up Jean this morning to you, Lord. We know that she continues to need your hand upon her. Lord, we continue to pray for our shut-ins, Lord, that look to you to provide for them strength and, Lord, comfort Lord, the care that you can provide for them, we pray. Lord, we just look to you for all things. Lord, we trust not in our own strength. We lean not in our own understanding or wisdom, Lord, but we trust in you and we look to you to guide and direct us at all times. Lord, we thank you for the offering this morning. Lord, thank you for those that bring forth the offering unto you. Lord, I just pray a blessing upon those that continue to give, Lord, unto you and your kingdom. Lord, it's not about giving to this church, Lord, but it's giving to you. Lord, they seek to bless you with their tithes and their offerings, Lord. And Father, we know that you continually bless those that bless you. Lord, that's what your Bible says. And so we just pray that blessing, that continual blessing upon those faithful givers, Lord, and those that bring forth that that gift, that offering to you here this morning. Bless this service, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have. We are such a blessed people. And even as we are drawing close to a time of thanksgiving, Lord, might our minds and our hearts be set on just remembering and showing our appreciation to you each and every day, just how thankful we are, Lord, for all that you bless us with. Lord, our blessings are too many to number, and Father, we praise you for each one. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated.
Darren, we need your help.
Okay. Now, this is unscripted because I don't know what's happening.
Hey, this is Crash Course First Thing Smart. So, with everything the kids have done here the last month, getting this apple butter thing together, they've come up with this idea. They want to do their part in month of missions. So, they need Pastor Darren's help. Stand there in the middle.
Right. Now, I don't know what this sign says, but I hope this isn't a gotcha moment where I'm holding this sign like that says,
but
here's
the kids
dummy.
Decided they would like to go ahead and donate $350 of their money that
isn't
they
that
made
something?
To the missions.
Isn't that something? What a blessing. I was just telling Deborah yesterday as we were here, and I said, boy, wouldn't it be great if the kids did some type of service with some of the money that they raised? And would you know, wow, the Lord answered my prayer right there. I didn't know this. No. So kids, thank you so much. Your hard work has paid off, and lots of money that has come in, and you're willing to donate some of that to Valley Mission, and I think that's very admirable of each of you. So praise the Lord. Maybe another round of applause for them. Why don't we have a prayer that these funds will help out some people in real need, and that most of all, that they see the light of Jesus, that maybe the story will be told that the help that they're receiving is from you guys that work so hard to give them a helping hand in their time of need. So let's just pray for that. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that right now that this money that these children have out of their heart given, Lord, and to be used in such a positive way to help those in need. Lord, we know that there are those that are hungry. We know that there are children that have come in, Lord, and they're confused. Lord, maybe they're going through a very difficult point in their life with their mom and dad. Lord, we just pray that this money will be used by Valley Mission to help those children, those people in need, Lord, that need it. And Lord, that you will work through these funds to draw people to your Son, Jesus, that they might find that solid rock, that foundation in their life, that Lord might help them to get up and stand again on their own 2 feet, Lord, because Lord, they got that solid foundation underneath of them. Lord, let your light shine through this gift that the children give. And Lord, we just praise you for it. Lord, it just blesses my heart. I know it blesses all of our hearts to see the children here willing to do this. Out of the hard work and funds that they raise, Lord, they want to donate a portion of that, Lord, to help others. And Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we know good things are happening just because of this what we're seeing here this morning. Lord, thank you for each one of these children up here this morning. Might you continue to bless them, I pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you all so much. God bless you. Yes, all right. Thank you. Thank you all. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bless you.
Boy, if that doesn't bless your heart, I don't know what will. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Maybe that's all the sermon we need this morning. That's going to preach probably better than I can. If you're with me, though, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say in our topic this morning? Not one that we would talk a lot about, I don't think. But what did Jesus say about false prophets? These false teachers. People that will come in and rob away and steal away the sheep to destroy the ministry or to mislead people, misguide people. Really, the topic was to be, what did Jesus say about the Antichrist? I felt like that was really where I was headed in the beginning of all this. And so I thought, for sure, there are a number of scriptures. You know, you plug in your mind, you think these scriptures are there about Jesus referring to the Antichrist. And guess what? Jesus never really spoke about the Antichrist. He talked about false teachers. He talked about false prophets. He talked about those deceivers that would come into the church. But he never talked about the Antichrist. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, the New Testament, Paul and John, even as you have here in your bulletin, this scripture from John, 1 John, they do talk about the Antichrist. Now we know if you have very familiar with the book of Revelation and the Antichrist, this is the beast that will rise in the tribulation. This is the guy that will come out and Antichrist really doesn't mean against Christ, although he is against, but it would be another form of Christ, another version of Christ. So he's going to be a miracle worker. He's going to be just a problem solver, a world peace solver. He's really going to be the solution to all the problems that are happening in the world today. And I was kind of thinking, like many of you, about Israel and seeing all that's happening and this battle between the Muslims and the Jews and even the Christians that are there in that area as well. There's a large Christian presence in Israel as well. And you think about all these tensions, and it makes my mind move forward to a time that there will be a man. He is prophesied in the New Testament that will come on the scene. This is after the rapture of the church. The church isn't here during this time. But when the church is raptured, this son of perdition will rise. Now, it's interesting that word son of perdition is used in the Scriptures. Jesus does use that title one time. And guess who he uses it towards? If you think of one person in the New Testament who would be the son of perdition, who would it be? Judas, right? Judas. Hey, Jesus calls Judas the son of perdition. And I think it's because Jesus is seeing that in Judas is the spirit of Antichrist. And even as our call to worship says, and you all spoke it yourself here on the last thing, it says, and is now already in the world. And this spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming. Notice there, you heard was coming. So John, this is the closest I could get to John talking about Jesus, referring to the Antichrist, was right here. You've heard. You've heard that this guy was coming. So obviously, Jesus taught about it. It's just not recorded for us in the New Testament. And John says here, and now already is in the world today. So we see the spirit of Antichrist in the world. Jesus pointed it out in Judas, right? At one time he pointed it out in Peter. What did he say to Peter when Peter said, I'll never let you go to the cross? Get thee behind me, Satan. And there it is. There's that spirit. There's Satan working through an individual at that point, out of his own disciple. We have to be careful, don't we, to protect our heart. Make sure that we don't open the door for the evil one to come in and even use us against the things of God. And so we have to be careful. We have to protect ourselves. But here we have that son of perdition there mentioned. But there's not a whole lot said about the Antichrist. And I got to thinking, now, why would Jesus not talk about the Antichrist? Well, he talks about false prophets, false teachers, and that's where we're going to move this morning. But why didn't he say anything really about the Antichrist, this one individual that this spirit of Antichrist will indwell in and be this leader that will mislead and misguide many in the tribulation? Why isn't Jesus talking about him? So my brain pondered on this for days. Why? Why would not Jesus speak on this? And then it was like a light bulb moment. It came on. It was clear to me at that point. He doesn't talk to the church about the Antichrist because we will not deal with the Antichrist. You know the old mark of the beast that the Antichrist is going to make people take? What's the three numbers that he'll have you be on your forehead or your head? 666, there's a lot of worry about somebody forcing you to put 666. Listen, church, you will never endure that. As long as you are a Christian, the church will be raptured before the son of perdition is ever revealed. And when he is revealed, then he forces people to take the mark of the beast. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you're a martyr. You die. You'll be beheaded is what the scriptures say. And so, we don't hear about Jesus teaching on the Antichrist because it is not an issue for the church. It's not an issue for the church. You're not going to have to worry about the Antichrist misleading you. You're not going to have to worry about the Antichrist forcing you to take the mark of the beast. And sometimes we Christians get a little confused. Oh my goodness, they're going to force us to take the mark. No. If you're being forced to take the mark, you've missed the rapture. Now that's a major problem. And there's a whole lot of other problems you're going to have to worry about other than just the mark, trust me. The world seems to come unglued at that point. From the cosmos, stars raining down onto heaven, to natural disasters killing one-third of all living things at any given time. I mean, it's major, major problems. You wouldn't want to enter into the tribulation. So you're not going to have to worry about the Antichrist, and therefore Jesus does not focus on the Antichrist. What we will have to worry about in the church is false prophets and false teachers, those that are wanting to lead people astray, not following the Word of God, but leading them in some other path other than the path which is the truth. And these false teachers are around today. They are there. They are seeking to prey upon the church. They are seeking to mislead, misguide, and they are wanting people to follow them. Now, who's that sound like? Satan, isn't that what he wanted? He wanted to reject the things of God, reject God so that people would follow and worship him. And he wanted to be God. And this same demented thought enters into the hearts of people today. They want to be followed. They want to be God. They want people to worship them as God. And there are people that are about today in the ministry, no less. These are people in the ministry. They present themselves as being righteous and holy. They present themselves as being of God, but yet they are working not for the kingdom of God, but for themselves. And they are working to draw people unto themselves. You know, the scripture we'll read here out of Matthew chapter 7, it comes right on the heels of the narrow way. Notice there in verses 13 through 14, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Matthew 7:13. But verse 14, because narrow is the gate. Difficult is the word there, is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so Jesus sets forth the way to heaven. And it's not this broad way. It's not all roads lead to heaven, as some would teach. Polytheism, right? This polytheistic belief that everybody is serving God in their own form and fashion, and we're all heading to that celestial city one day. It's just we're getting there in a lot of different ways. Is that what Jesus says? That's not sound theology, is it? Monotheistic. That's one way. One way to heaven. One way to the celestial city. There's one gate by which we may enter, the narrow gate. There's one path by which we may walk, the straight path. What's the crooked path lead to? Road of destruction. Crooked path. The wide gate. These are the roads that lead to destruction. Wide is the great. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And so there's not many ways to heaven. Listen, folks, not everybody's going to heaven. Just the way it is. Those that get to heaven are those that have received Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior and have sought to follow Him, period. That's it. The gate's not open for those that are of another religion and have rejected Christ as Lord and Savior. I know that might make you feel nice, warm, and fuzzy inside to think everybody's just going up to heaven, but it's not the truth. The warm and fuzzies do not matter. The truth is what matters. And Jesus says there is but one way. There is one path that leads to that celestial city. There's a book titled Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you've ever read that book before. Ah, look at there. You've read the book. Yes, awesome. That is wonderful. Man, it's a good book. It's an interesting book. There's a lot of imagery and picture about. It's about a man named Christian who's headed to the celestial city. And Corbin knows this well. This guy's going to the celestial city, and along the way, there's all kinds of things that happen to him that seem to want to distract him from the path that he's on. And one of the stories it tells about Christian and his companion Hope, That's his companion. He's headed down the mountain. I think he said that mountain experience, that mountaintop experience, he's received Jesus. You know, he's on the way, he's on the path. He said this mountaintop experience of receiving Christ, and he's coming down the mountain. And as he comes down the mountain, it says that there a little crooked path meets the way. And there at the crooked path, right there at the crooked path that meets the way, there is one that meets hopeful and Christian, and his name is the name of ignorance. And he's a false professor, it says, who says that he certainly knows the way to the celestial city and the way to the narrow gate. And so Christian asks ignorance, but how do you know, or how do you think to get to the gate? How do you know the way, basically? And ignorance replies, oh, I'll get there as other people do. He's not saying that he knows the way. He's just telling you, trust in him. You can trust in him. Don't trust in Christ. Trust in me. And I think what Mr. Bunyan is trying to describe to us is that there are those people out there that aren't necessarily referring or don't know the way when it comes to Christ, or don't know what the Scriptures say, but they have a plan of their own. They have a way of their own that they think that they can get you there. And they're going to sell that to you, and it's the old crooked road. Unfortunately, the road that they lead you down is one of destruction. And so we have to be weary, and we have to be careful that Mr. Ignorance doesn't mislead us. Now, what does Jesus use to describe the scribes and the Pharisees? Because in this scripture, and I'll read it here now, he's talking about these false prophets, these scribes and Pharisees that are misleading people. And he describes them a certain way here, but I'm going to ask, we'll look at other ways as well. And so let's look at chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, Jesus said, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And he goes to say, do men then gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So what is Jesus saying about false prophets, about false teachers? Really, he's referring here to these scribes and Pharisees who were fitting the bill at that moment. So what does he call them? Well, here he calls them what? Ravenous wolves, right, that are found in sheep's clothing. Other places, Matthew 23, he refers to them as blind guides. These false prophets are like blind guides. You wouldn't want to follow a blind guide. It might fall in a hole and you follow right in with him. He calls them fools. At times he calls them whitewashed tombs. That they, while they look so nice and pretty on the outside, what's on the inside? Nothing but death, right? Death and dead man's bones is what Jesus would say. Jesus would call them serpents. Boy, that makes you think of Genesis' account, doesn't it? Who was the one that came deceiving Adam and Eve? The serpent, right? Came deceiving Eve. You generation, or you brood of vipers, he would say. You brood of snakes. Ye hypocrites! People that put on a fake face. They're not who they really, truly appear to be. They look one way. They look righteous and holy and devout and religious. But really, down deep in their heart, they're none of those things. They're just a bunch of fakes. They're dead inside. And they're not exactly what they appear to be. Like thieves, he says in John 10:10. You're just a bunch of thieves. You're thieving away from the things of God. Thieving away. And of course, false prophets, right? He calls them false prophets here. Beware of false prophets, verse 15. Why do you think Jesus would use all these different names to describe a group of people that were doing this? Look at all the different terminology he used here. He really wanted us to get the idea, didn't he? He didn't want us to miss this, that there are people that are preying on the sheep, and that we needed to beware, we needed to keep an eye on it, we needed to be aware of what is happening. You know, when I was growing up, they used to have the classic Warner Brothers cartoons on television. That's the ones I grew up with. Maybe you did too. You know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd. Sylvester, I think that was the cat. And then Foghorn Leghorn, if you remember some of these things. I don't know if you remember two of them. Two characters named Ralph and Sam. I don't know if you remember Ralph and Sam. But Ralph was the wolf, and Sam was the sheepdog. And it was kind of funny, but as these cartoons go, Ralph and Sam would wake up in the morning, and Ralph was the wolf, and Sam was the sheepdog, and they'd get their lunch pail, and they'd tread off to work in the morning, and both of them come to the time clock. It's hanging on the tree there, and they get their little card out and punch their time clock. And the sheepdog, he says, "Good morning, Ralph." And he'll say, "Good morning, Sam." And then they go about their day. And the wolf is busy trying to take the sheep and devour and eat the sheep. And Sam, the old sheepdog, is trying to protect him. And, of course, it's always comical, the things that the wolf is trying to do to get the sheep. But Sam is always there to protect the sheep. And I remember watching that as a kid. It's always so funny. One time Ralph, he decided the way to get to the sheep was to tie himself to a bunch of balloons. And he was going to float over the fence, float over the sheepdog, and right down into the sheep and get him a sheep. And of course, as he floated across, Sam had a spit gun. And he popped the balloons, and down he came and popped him one right in the nose. His nose would often look like an accordion because Sam would pop him in the nose. Ralph would dig a hole up underneath the sheep and go to grab him, and guess who was sitting in the field and who he grabbed? Sam. And so he'd put Sam back up after he punched him in the nose. And, you know, it was always something funny. But it's the job, isn't it? It's like they clocked in. It was their job. The wolf is always out trying to make prey, trying to devour the sheep. And the sheepdog is always trying to protect the sheep. Now, we don't have a sheepdog in the ministry, but we do have Jesus, don't we? And He's our protector. And He's caring for us. And He's looking after the sheep. He's caring for the sheep. Remember John chapter 10? You remember that scripture? There's the story of the shepherd. We have the shepherd. We don't have the sheepdog, but we do have the shepherd, don't we? John chapter 10, "Most surely I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them." Why would he go before them? To protect them, right? "And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." You go on down to verse 10. "And the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." There's the wolf. "But I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep." Listen, we don't have Sam. We got something way better than him, don't we? We have the shepherd, and he cares for the sheep, and he watches over the sheep, and he's looking for people that are false teachers, that are swindlers, that are fraudsters, tricksters, who come punching their time clock, working overtime, you might say, to kill and to destroy the sheep. But Jesus, King Jesus, the great shepherd, he's watching over us. And he's making sure to protect us against those who would seek to scheme against the things of God and to devour the sheep. So what does Jesus have to say here? Back to Matthew. What does he really have to say about the false prophet? Well, number one there, notice the false prophet comes to deceive and devour the sheep. Notice there he describes him like a wolf, but notice there, what is the wolf clothed in? He's clothed in sheep's clothing, right? You know, if the wolf came, I'm talking about the false teacher, and he came here and he declared himself as the wolf, how many of us would follow him? Nobody, right? Obviously, you wouldn't want to follow the wolf. You know, the guy that's trying to prey on the sheep, the guy that's trying to mislead you and misguide you, direct you away from the truth of God, they're not going to come and declare, hey, everything I'm about to tell you is really a lie. It doesn't line up scripturally. It's not theologically accurate. And in fact, if you follow me long enough, I'll lead you right down into hell itself. Who's willing to come with me? Well, how many of us would raise our hand for that? But that's not how the wolf comes, is it? He comes dressed in sheep's clothing. He looks like the sheep, doesn't he? At first, he looks just like the sheep. But if you look close enough, you'll see that rather than having little flat teeth like a sheep, he's got ones that are ready to chew you up and gobble you up and eat you out. Eat you up and spit you out, rather. He's wanting to devour you. If you look close enough, you can see that the person is not a sheep but a wolf. And he's saying, be careful. There are people that present themselves as being good, and in fact, they are ravenous wolves. How many of you remember the name Jim Jones? Is that a name that's familiar to some of you? Should be. Some of us remember a guy named Jim Jones. He had a ministry back in the, 60s and 70s? People's Temple. He had a rather large following. He was a very charismatic type of preacher. He had a rather large following. He misled the sheep and he took them all the way out to, I think it was Ghana or one of these foreign countries, I can't remember, to get away from what he thought the government was after him and his church, the People's Temple. While they were there, a congressman came and visited. They shot and killed the congressman. And then he came back and preached about a 40-minute sermon on how everybody needed to drink the Kool-Aid. Maybe you've heard that terminology before. Maybe you don't know what it's in reference to, but it's in reference to Jim Jones and how he misled people to drink poison. And there was over 900 people dead by the end of this drinking the Kool-Aid. You imagine? I don't know if you remember the pictures of it or not. There was this outside kind of shelter, and all around this shelter was bodies laying. 914 people dead. Men, women, and yes, plenty of children. It's unthinkable. How could a person have such influence, have such control over a group, and he's no longer preaching God's word? Well, it's because he started out really good. He started out looking like the genuine thing. But underneath, he was not genuine. It was no good in it. And he led them down a road that was straight to destruction. And they died by the same means of death that Judas himself died by. Think of that. You're so misled, you literally use the same means of dying that Judas himself, the betrayer. Scriptures say Judas went out and hung himself. And here we see a group of people that had went right down the same road as Judas. They weren't following God nor God's direction. They were misled by a wolf. How many of you remember David Koresh? Maybe that's one that's more familiar with you. And the Davidians. By the end of that whole thing, nearly 80 people dead, 20 children killed. Wolf. What do you do to describe? What do these people have in common? Well, they start out so innocently, don't they? They look righteous. They wear sheep's clothing. They have all the right imagery at first. But upon closer inspection, you find that the things that they're teaching, the things that they're saying, do not line up with this right here. This is our guide, isn't it? This is how we determine what truth is. This is the balance. You know, you put things on a balance and it tells you what's accurate, what's the weight, what's real and what's not. And this is what we use to determine what's real and what is fake. And there are those that come looking real, but there's a whole lot of fake there. They don't line up against God's words. They proclaim to speak for God oftentimes is what they'll do. But notice they twist God's word to make it to say what they want rather than what the truth of God's word says. They act like they are enriching your life while actually they are enriching themselves. Boy, there's probably some TV ministries that might fall under that category. Just sow your seed of faith. Send your money. The reason God's not blessing you financially is because you've not sent me all your money. If you just send me all your money, maybe even money you don't have, put it on credit card. That's okay. But if you would just by faith send it, God will bless you. Now there's some people that are making some financial gains. They're riding in helicopters and private jets while you can barely afford a 1985 Toyota, Honda, or whatever, and they're riding around in a Rolls Royce, and they're making prey. It's for them. It's not for you. While they tell you they're enriching you, they're actually enriching themselves. They want to be worshipped like God. Jim Jones at one point declared that he was God. David Koresh at one point declared that he was God's son. It's a common theme. Eventually, they come out with the truth. They want to be worshipped. They want to be God. They declare themselves either as the Son of God or God Himself. And number six, they claim to be Christ or God in the flesh. And there are many today that are working at that very thing. We have to be careful. False prophets come to deceive and devour. Number two, false prophets are totally detectable to the Christian. Notice there, Jesus spends, what, four verses there talking about how you can know them. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. So basically, you'll know them by your fruit, their fruit. You can tell who they are based on their fruit. Galatians 5, you should do some research there because Paul spends some time on talking about the good fruit and the bad fruit. The bad fruit is evident, he says. It's adultery, it's fornication, it's uncleanness, it's lewdness, it's idolatry, it's sorcery, it's hatred, it's contention, it's jealousy, it's outbursts of wrath and anger, it's selfishness, selfish ambition, it's dissension, it's heresies, it's envies, it's murders, it's drunkenness, it's rivalries and parties and debauchery. And on it goes. There's bad fruit. There's how you can identify the bad tree. Are those the things that are the fruits of their life? And the good fruits, what are the good fruits? Well, the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's easy to spot a fake, isn't it? All you need to do is just examine the fruits of their life. What sort of fruits do they bear? Is it long-suffering fruit, joy, peace, love, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? Okay, number three, we'll end here. False prophets are always among us. Jesus says, so be vigilant, keep watching. If you read on down there, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice there. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, for many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. Listen, there are false prophets and teachers around. We have to keep our eyes open. Be clear-eyed to see those who are deceiving and seeking to pull away the sheep so that they might devour them for their own self-interest. Keep our eyes open, Jesus says. That not even those that are doing works in my name, and notice here, they're accomplishing their work. They're casting out demons. Literally, those that have cast out demons in Jesus' name. You think, why would God bless their ministry? He's not blessing their ministry. He's blessing the faith of those that believe in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the power that casts out demons. And the person's faith in that. And that's not really the power of the false prophet or the false teacher. But boy, they can use that to deceive, can't they? They can use those things to draw people unto themselves rather unto Christ. You know, think about Jim Jones, think about David Koresh. Really, what it comes down to is they wanted you not to look to Jesus, not to follow Him, had nothing to do about Him. It all came down to me, follow me. Boy, be careful to anyone who proclaims, follow me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this warning for us that there are those, even in the ministry, Lord, that we have to be careful and pay close attention today that we're not being misguided, that we're not being misled or misguided away from Your book and Your truth and Your Son, Jesus. Lord, help to have ministers and those that are preaching the cross, preaching the need for Jesus and to place Him first and only Him and no one else. Lord, that's what I pray. Protect this church, I pray. Protect all churches from those who would seek to infiltrate and devour the sheep. Do it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, let's close now, our closing hymn. You want to turn in your hymnal to page 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's stand and sing, page 354. bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we continue to seek your protection. Lord, we have nothing to fear. We lean upon you and upon your cross. Lord, we have nothing to fear. We're safe because of the shepherd. Lord, you protect the sheep. Lord, as long as we keep you as our shepherd, not some other person, Lord, we shall always be safe. And Lord, you are the one in control of the door, the gate in which the sheep shall enter therein. And Lord, we thank you so much. We've trusted in the true shepherd to have us to enter into that gate on that glorious day. Lord, we're traveling to that celestial city, but Lord, we're doing it on the straight and narrow path. Lord, we're doing it through Christ Jesus, our shepherd, who will one day usher us in. Father, we praise you now. Bless us as your church. Keep us safe, Lord, from all enemies that would seek to make prey of us, from false prophets and the like. Protect us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.